You're listening to the Bloomberg Advantage with Corey Johnson and Carol Masser on Bloomberg Radio.
I'm in love with Rochester, Rochester, New York.
And that is about as exciting as Rochester gets. I can tell you, with knowledge of the situation, Anton Schutz, also of Rochester, New York, has some knowledge of said situation. Anton, good to have you on the show. Anton and I got together, Oliver, in my hometown of Fairport, New York, a few months ago, had a nice visit, and talked about banks at length. But, boy, we've got some more information today, Anton.
We sure do. Always a pleasure.
Yeah. So what do you make of the reports we got today from Citi and from Wells? Why don't we start with Citi?
Well, it's funny. Let me backtrack a second. You know, what JP Morgan does is they report before everybody else does. And then so it's anticlimactic. So we had the rally yesterday because they put a pretty high bar on everything. And so Citi's numbers were good this morning. I mean, their expenses were well in line. You know, again, on the trading side, they did pretty well. Credit looks decent. So, you know, Citi's a different story than JP Morgan. Citi still trades at a distressed valuation. It's 70% of book value. They've got one of the highest buybacks out there. So every share they buy back makes book value go higher. So, you know, the real risk with Citi has always been the perception of its exposure to the emerging markets, which is, you know, it exists. They're more of an international player, less domestic than JP Morgan. So, but the numbers were pretty good. And, you know, the stock's not up because JP Morgan made everybody go up yesterday.
Anton, when you look at the numbers that came out, there were several instances here of these banks talking about gains in their fixed income trading. Is that surprising to you? Are we able to assess right now whether or not that is just an effect of a pretty rough 2015, or is perhaps the sort of concern over trading volumes and market making, is that maybe fading away a little bit?
Well, I think you if you could break it out, my guess is the last week of June, you know, created a whole lot of trading volume for them. Mm-hmm. You know, with all the Brexit concerns, you had massive swings in bonds globally as well as currencies. So I think that, you know, they got a quarter's worth of volume probably in, you know, in a week or so, you know, if they would break it out that way. I think the environment is obviously a little better than it was that last week. You know, the second quarter started off with a decent IPO yesterday. The pipeline looks good. So, you know, we're always hopeful for the capital markets actually getting back to normal environment. I'm not sure FIC is reflective of it. I think it was just the volumes just spiked so much in all those segments in the last week of June and even before, as people were preparing for it.
So in the case of JP Morgan and of Wells Fargo, we saw charge-offs rise significantly. So the non-performing loan number looked a little bit better. That's how I think I'm supposed to read that. But in the case of Citi, we saw charge-offs down quite a bit. And I wonder what you make of that.
Well, I think their exposures are a little different. I think in Wells Fargo in particular, their exposures to energy, you know, just a bigger percentage of their book. And, you know, I think, you know, JP Morgan as well. But, you know, I think internationally, Citi didn't have, you know, the charge-offs that people sort of expect from their emerging markets. And I think that one of the things that Citi does get when it goes abroad is, you know, it's not the adverse selection. They actually get seen as a very safe place to do business with. So they actually do business with the creme de la creme in all those markets.
Anton, we were talking earlier on the show about defaults, talking about the potential for, I guess, whether or not we're going to figure out if the stress in credit is limited to the energy sector. Right now, when you look at the banks and you look at the trend in defaults and you look at companies struggling in certain parts of the market, is it concerning at all? What do you make of sort of the ability for these banks to hold on to their loans in a way that is not going to, you know, lead to erosion of a sector?
Yeah, the interesting thing is, you know, the world keeps trying to extrapolate back to the crisis of 2008, and, you know, the banks are not as levered. They got much stronger capital. I mean, there's nothing I can point to that looks like what the, you know, mortgage sector looked like, you know, back then. So, you know, credit getting worse, it has to get worse. It only has to get worse because it was so good. But I think we're getting back into a normal credit cycle. That makes sense. You know, banks are supposed to lose some money on some of the loans they book. I don't see a tidal wave coming. I mean, there are, you know, sectors of the economy that, look a little scarier. There's certain geographies. I mean, you guys, you know, in San Francisco and in New York have seen some heated parts of your real estate market. No doubt about it. No heat here in Rochester.
Well,
but, you know,
there are
pockets.
I do hear there is heat in Rochester. I hear it's hot.
Yes, temperature-wise, yes. Real estate, no. You know, there's parts of Miami that have gotten a little too hot. You know, Brickell has gotten a little too hot. So there's segments out there you've got to watch. I mean, the regulators have been all over the banks that have over 300% of real estate loans to value. And I think that's creating some slowdown in real estate lending. I think it's also creating some opportunities for those that are not at those ratios that can get better pricing now in some of those markets. But, you know, those three markets in particular concern me. New York City, you know, high-end market is a little scary. San Francisco pricing is just, you know, it's so perfect that anything goes wrong in tech, you know, that there's, you know, it's vulnerable. So, you know, those are markets I'm trying to avoid, and you can do that. You know, I like to invest in regional banks, so some of the banks are exposed to those markets I'm not investing in.
Anton, you said, I'm looking here on your Bloomberg profile, you were on radio with us almost a year ago now in October, and you were pretty, maybe not bullish, but you're talking about finding value in U.S. domestic banks. Has that view changed as rates really haven't, we only got one hike and we're still pretty flat?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, we've talked about areas of the country, so I love the Southeast. I mean, a lot of good economic activity. You know, loan growth in the U.S. has been a plus. I mean, we've seen 7.5% loan growth, you know, year on year across the banking space. So, you know, it's kind of making up for this yield curve, which isn't helpful. You know, the thing about a yield curve is the average assets on a bank's balance sheet are, you know, 5 to 6 year duration at least. And if you think about it, how much of that reprices as time goes on? It takes a long time for a real massive dent to happen. But, you know, to me, the bad news about the yield curve is good news for consolidation. You know, we've seen 5% of the industry sell each of the last 2 years. I think the pace is going to pick up in the second half of this year as we're not getting that relief to earnings of short-term rates being higher and a flat yield curve. So some guys are going to throw the towel in. And, you know, as we saw from Citi, cutting costs is a big deal. So if you take two banks that are, you know, similar in size and they get together and they can cut out 30 or 40% of the expense base, they're creating value for their share owners.
So therefore, your positioning for your portfolio being long some of the smaller regionals?
Absolutely. Like I said, I love the Southeast. I think that, you know, there's some bigger banks that are now out of the penalty box can start doing deals again. And, you know, I think you'll see some banks that no one's ever heard of sort of become, you know, bigger regional players. You know, there's a few banks out of Arkansas that have grown very quickly, like Bank of the Ozarks, and they've been rolling up stuff in, you know, the Carolinas.
All right. Anton Schutz, president of Mendon Capital Advisors. The guy we want to talk to when we talk about banks. Glad to have you on. You are listening to Bloomberg Advantage. Corey Johnson with Oliver Rennick today. This is Bloomberg.